of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15, verse 11, please. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now turn back a couple of pages in your Bible, please, to chapter 13. And verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. What a pathetic verse. Many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves crush them. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Oh, God will bless the reading of his word, the opening of the meeting this evening. From these two readings of the Gospel of Luke, I would like to notice three beginnings. Whenever we commence a series of gospel meetings, we are always faced with the question, where do we begin? How are we ever going to begin to preach the message of the gospel to men and women in this place? Well, we have read of three beginnings tonight. The first one I want you to notice is the beginning of a sinner's awakening. Luke chapter 15, we find this young man, and he's sitting on a log in a pig pen when he comes to his senses, and the Word of God says he began to be in love. That's where the moment that that boy would always look back to, after he got home, he never went to a pig pen again like that. Never did he ever eat an old bean husk anymore, but he would always look back to that moment, sitting there amongst those hogs, when he began to have feelings with God about parenting. That's where it all began. He began to be in one. And he said, I have sinned against heaven and perished. Time that I turned and went back. That's where it all began. Now if any man or woman, listen to me, very carefully, dear young folk and older one, if any person is ever going to arrive in God's heaven, there's going to have to be a spiritual awakening. Now very, very often, in gospel meetings like this, people have that beginning. God awakens them to their spiritual need for eternity. Now the second one I hope to notice with you is in verse 24. And we read of the beginning of his joy. They began to be merry. My, that moment of reconciliation. I've often been touched in reading this passage in my own thinking, to visualize that father and son when they were reconciled. And it takes me back to a Sunday night sitting on the side of a bed in a little upper bedroom in the city of Toronto, Canada. And this poor sinner was reconciled to God. The happiest moment of my whole life's experience, when as a sinner, God threw his arms around me and I was glad to embrace him because Christ is my Savior. What a beginning, my friend. I hope that this meeting tonight will be the moment of your beginning, of God's salvation. Then I want you to notice in the 13th of Luke, the beginning of a hopeless eternity. My house found. They began to weep. They began to gnash their teeth. They began to pray. They began to knock. And you never read of them ever finishing. There's no end to the seeking and the weeping in eternity for sinners that missed the open door of salvation. They began to stand without. They began to weep. How solemn. Oh, friend, may I just appeal to you as I commence this meeting tonight and ask you to very kindly, for your own soul's sake, listen to what God's truth speaks to your heart tonight. Or should you carelessly listen? Or should you in any manner miss the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus? You will be found in the 13th of Luke. How solemn, the beginning of a sad eternity, to weep forever as they look back on the time when they heard his footsteps in the street and sat at the very same table. Think of their proximity to the Savior, of sitting across the table from him and then going to hell. May God help you to realize you need to listen seriously tonight. Your soul is in the balance for eternity. Now notice, if you will, then a few thoughts concerning this young man's awakening, the beginning of his awakening. Now, I'm absolutely satisfied if this boy was writing his own story, it wouldn't sound like this. Would it now? If you and I were to write our own story, it would never sound like Luke 15. But you see, friend, this is God's account of this boy. And after all, it's on the account that God has of the boy that he's judged. It's on that account. It's not on the boy's own story. We read about this boy, and really, you know, this boy's father was a gracious man. He actually went beyond what the law required of him. The law required that for each son and the father, the inheritance would be split evenly. But the father took his inheritance and he split it in half between the two boys. The father was a gracious man, and he gave that boy far more than even he had to do so righteously. He was gracious to him, and it reminds me of the kindness of the God of heaven to a sinner like me. God, my friend, has been so good to me, so good to me, and he's been good to you, friend. Oh, the mercy and the kindness of the God of heaven. He's been so good to us. And what do men do with his goodness? They just use the whole thing. And as far as heaven is concerned, it's wasted. They've never had the moment that this boy took into account. And he began to sit down and calculate, if I stay here, I'm going to die in my sin. And there's no need for it. I'm going back home. And multitudes of men and women live and die without ever coming to this moment when they face God in their sin and their need of going back and getting right with God. But you know, if this boy was writing this story, it's likely to go a little something like this. Well, you know, my dad gave me the allowance, you know, and I headed out and I fell on the, what they call bad luck, the boys would say, you know, I had a lot of bad luck and things didn't go very good, and got in with my friends, you know, and you know how it is, and I couldn't get a job, and so it wasn't very long until everything went, and finally I got a job with an old farmer, and what did he do? He sends me up to feed the hogs, and things were going bad, and then lo and behold, we had a bad year on the farm, and there wasn't anything. Things were just going from bad to worse. But you know, friend, that's not the way God looked at it. That might be the way men will look at their lives. But I want to say to you young folk and older one here tonight, God is not going to bring you into account of how you look at your life. He's going to bring man into account as to his assessment of your life. That's what's going to count, friend, when you come to dealings with God. And if you ever think of being saved, ready for heaven, the first thing to do, sit down and ask yourself, how does God see me? How does God look at me? That's what this boy had to do. That's the very first thing. When he's sitting down there in that despicable condition, sitting amongst the filth of the hog pen there, with absolutely nothing but to chew on the same old bean pod that the hogs were eating, the poor fella, and there he's sitting with an empty stomach, and a miserable life, and he's got nothing to show for of all the kindness that his father had given to him. He's got nothing. And there he sits. And finally, it begins to dawn into his soul, my life has been filled with opposition to heaven. He began to face reality. My friend, have you ever faced the reality that if you were to meet God tonight, the eternal God of the heavens, your creator, the maintainer of your breath, if you were to meet God tonight, young man, young woman, have you ever asked yourself, what will he have to say about my life? How will he look at me? And that's the assessment this boy came to. You know, the solemn thing of it is, it took a catastrophe to bring him to it. And I want to say very kindly, tenderly to you young man tonight, I hope it doesn't take a catastrophe to bring you to it. I think of a dear man that I know. He's now in heaven, died as a young man, lying on a bed in the state of Iowa, USA, so crippled, neither his hands nor his feet were useful to him. They were so turned up and twisted, and his little body was like a little ball. As he lay on his bed, he pecked on an electric typewriter with a pencil that the nurse would put between his teeth. And that's the only way he could communicate that way, in a little touch tone telephone that they had rigged up continuously on a little affair by the side of his head, and he would roll over to it.
And well do I remember the day we stood by his bed and asked him, how did you get saved? And the dear boy went over his experience and the tears ran down the side of his cheek against his little pillow as he told us. And he closed his little story with saying, every day I thank God that he brought me to this bed. And I never thought of my soul until my body was crippled and I couldn't do another thing. What a catastrophe. And I want to tell you, friend, far better to be like that and go to heaven when you die than to have all your senses and die and plunge into hell forever. He began to be awakened. I hope in these meetings, in this meeting tonight, that you begin to assess your life in the light of how heaven looks at it.
Then he began to think, you know, when he was, and he had his pockets full and he left the father's home. And away he went to have his fun. See him down there with his friends as they rally around him. And away he goes to have his good time. You know, he wasn't thinking for a moment about his father's name. He wasn't thinking for a moment of what it would be. And he wasted everything and sat down to face death. And he doesn't have 2 pennies to rub together and his character's broken with immorality. And the whole thing's shot. Now listen, friend. I hope that your character's not broken with immorality. Shame on you if it is. And let me say to you tonight, even though you may have never stooped to the shame of immorality, let me say, heaven looks at you. There isn't one thing in your life that's worthy to take you to heaven. Not one thing. You were born wrong. Born in the wrong family. Born with a wrong nature. You could never go to heaven. And that's what this boy began to think. He looked at himself like heaven looked at him. But you know the thing that encourages me is, when that boy got awakened, he did something about it. When he got awakened, the boy, he picked up his miserable old self and the old miserable coat that he had on, filthy, likely, and smelling, and away he'd go home. But I want you to notice, when that boy faced the reality of dying and the shame of his sin, he knew where to go. He knew where to turn. And friend, that's what gospel meetings are all about. To see men and women awaken. And be able to tell them where to turn. In all their need, in their shame, in their hopelessness, the gospel of God's grace presents the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator that stands between an offended God and the poor, miserable offender, the sinner. You tonight, dear young woman, young man, in your sin, and father or mother, God knows your sin. And as he looks at your path, he has to write over it, sin against heaven. I want to ask you, if you're guilty of sinning against heaven, how do you ever hope to get there? Heaven's door would be closed against you. You are found as a rebel against the throne of heaven. You are found as unclean for the presence of the God of heaven. Must be reconciled, friend. You must get down to business in dealing with God. Let me notice as I leave this little thought of this dear boy in the moment when he began to get awakened. I want to assure you, friend, one thing that cheers me about that boy, well, if I was that father, my heart would be crushed. But the one thing that cheers me is he never stopped till he went all the way home. He didn't get sidetracked halfway. He let nothing stand in his way. No former friend is ever mentioned now. No haunt that he went to before is he tempted to go to now. There's nothing going to stop him. There's only one goal in that boy's experience. I'm going all the way home. My friend, tonight, we would like to encourage you tonight, whatever you do, if God speaks to your conscience, and your sin makes you feel the guilt and the shame of your condition before God,
Whatever you do, don't you let anything stand between you and going all the way and getting God's salvation. Nothing. He went all the way home. My, I see that miserable critter as he makes his way down that road. And you know, undoubtedly, he's going over in his mind, I've got to be honest with Father. There's no sense in hiding anything. I can't tell him anything. Just one look at me will tell the whole story anyway. And so he looks at himself like his father would look at him. And he goes over again the awfulness and shame in sinning against heaven. And the shame that he's brought on his own father's name. And he never changed his story from the time that God woke him up till he got home. And I want to tell you, friend, I hope that God helps you to see tonight that the only appeal that you have with God is that you are a guilty sinner that's worthy of nothing. When you're ready to take that place, I want to tell you there's a moment of reconciliation that lies in your experience. Well, that's the next thing that happened to that boy. Before he knew it, he was in his father's arms. My, I love to see that. I saw that happen on one occasion. I couldn't help but cry. As I stood behind the door and heard that father sobbing on the shoulder of a wayward son that had come home. And he didn't let them know he was coming, but he just came home. He had his little knapsack on his shoulder strap. And he walked through the kitchen door and his father nearly fell over. My, what a happy day that was. The old knapsack fell to the floor and that wayward son and his father embraced as the son poured out his confession to his father. My, what a happy day it would be for you, poor sinner, if you'd only come in all your sin and shame and rebellion, turn to God, turn to the Lord Jesus, turn to the willing Savior. If you knew him as I know him, friend, you'd turn tonight. For I want to tell you, the moment you turn, he'll embrace you. He's just right there. That's exactly what God's waiting for tonight. He's waiting for sinners to turn and go all the way. Don't let anything stop you in all your sin and need and the urgency of that need. Perishing! He made his way right to the Father. See them as they're embraced, and the Word of God says they began to be merry. My, what they would have to talk about. But you know the one thing the father never mentioned anymore? He never mentioned where the son had been in his sin. Never mentioned it. And do you know, from the day that I've been saved, God has never thrown up against me what I was in my sin. And neither will he with you, friend. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to reconcile you to himself. He wants you to come. Just as you are a miserable, wayward, dying sinner, take him at his word, the message of the Savior, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But as I sit down, I would just for one moment like to remind you, friend, that those that will not hearken, those that will not come, will you take just one more look at that little crowd that gathers in Luke 13 outside the door? And the Lord says as they look through the door, they see their relatives are there. And I look into the face of young men tonight and I wonder how many of your relatives will be in heaven. And you'll be outside the door. Oh, what a motley crew is outside that door. Ah, the unrepentant young saved drunkard will be there. And all the low of the streets and the corners of dark Vancouver on a dark night will be there. Christian's children will be there. Oh, may God help me to say that anyway. And I look into your face, young woman. You've never taken the Lord's name in vain in your sin tonight. Unless you repent, you'll begin to weep outside that door. They look back to times when the Lord was near to them. They looked back to relatives that they knew were inside the door. They looked back to weep. They gnashed their teeth and they began to weep. Oh, how solemn. I have seen sinners weep, and it has thrilled my heart. But oh, what agony it will be to see them weep outside the door. Never to be inside. Never to be welcome. Oh, friend, tonight, this is the time. This is the occasion. God has brought the mercy of His kindness and the invitation of His grace right within your grasp again. This is the time for that first beginning. A time to get awakened. To let God speak to you. The beginning of His awakening. When He sat down and faced His life as heaven saw it. And it shook Him up. And made Him want salvation. Is there one here in this audience tonight that has thoughtfully looked at themselves as God looks at them? If so, I want to say to you, you will agree with me that the most urgent thing in your life is to be reconciled to God and the forgiveness of your sins before you perish and are forever outside that door to begin to weep and wail forever. You listen to my brother as he presents God's salvation to you. That you might get the matter settled tonight and go all the way. Let nothing stop you from getting to Christ as a sinner, even tonight, and be saved for eternity.